Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
It's an unbelievably impressive bio that you get when you've got Ari Krasner live on the line. Ari, how's it going?
Hey, man, it's going great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan, so it's great to be speaking with you.
One Ari and another Ari. There you go.
I love the name.
What could possibly go wrong? It's difficult for me. I mean, it could take me 10 minutes just to describe everything that you get done in a day. You're the co-founder of GiveButter, this unbelievable platform that helps the world's most important causes achieve a greater impact. You're also the founder and president of TAMID at GW, which is a group that fosters next generation entrepreneurs and business leaders with unbelievable experiential business learning projects in Israel. You're also a student at the moment. You're a musician. I mean, you know, how do you get all this done, first of all?
Well, thanks for the introduction. You know, I believe in hustle and I don't sleep a lot. So it's all about who you surround yourself with. I love to say that I hang out with very few people, but they're all extraordinary people and they keep me going every single day. I also really try to maximize throughout the day and little sleep. So about 5 hours every day, and just, you know, the people that I surround myself with really challenge me and push me and, you know, challenge me to do better things and push myself to break down walls that other people set up. And, you know, I went to class, I go to GW, but during the year when I founded this platform with my roommates, school kind of became second priority and we were really just hustling, you know, barely making it through. So we made it through. It's summer now. And we just actually closed a seed round for our company. And we're very excited to be working at it full time for the summer.
We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of all these projects going on, but I love this word hustle, and particularly I think this is a great word in your context because it's a hustle that doesn't just benefit you, but benefits everyone else. This idea of a hustle that isn't sort of only self-serving, how does one get better at cultivating that as your hustle as opposed to a hustle that just serves you?
Well, that's a great question. I really believe that business and entrepreneurship has the power to change the world. And I think that the people that are going to be changing the world in the future are not going to be the politicians per se, but more so the actual business leaders and the entrepreneurs that are coming up from this generation and the millennials. And I believe that you can't make it in business unless you're doing something really, really great, because you can have a great product, but there's a million other people with a great product. And what you're doing really has to benefit others to really, you know, attract them. But also, I don't think it's worth it, any of this, if it's not helping others. You can make a lot of money, you can have business, you can get power and fame, but unless you're helping others, I don't know what life is worth living for. So I personally, what drives me is trying to do the best that I can, but also really trying to make a difference and helping other people. And I don't know how to foster that. I would say, you know, ask questions, speak to as many people as possible. And they really, people give you feedback and you have to take the feedback. And also see, if you're not making a difference, then you're not doing it right. In other people's lives, you really have to try and change, I don't know, systems, break down walls, don't live in within the lines of what society tells you to live in. Really just look beyond and see, how can I make the biggest impact possible? You can do well in the process. But it's most important that you're helping others and helping change everything that's around us for the better, for sure.
I like that you raise this word responsibility in a context of business leaders. We very often think of responsibility as something only associated to sort of public servants and politicians and so on and so forth. But we don't often attach it to people who are in business. And there's almost a part of society that kind of accepts it when business people are very self-serving, because it's part of what it is, you know, to be commercial and to be capitalist and so on and so forth. How do you want to change, you know, the definition of what a business leader is, so that that definition is more encompassing of, you know, improving the world?
Sure. That's a great question. Really, I think that I personally want business leaders to be seen as change makers in the best way possible. I want them to be seen as changers of systems, but also changers for the world. And I really, like I said before, I think that they should be held to a very high standard. If they're not making a change for the better, then I would say that there needs to be pressure for them to move on to something else where they're changing other things for other people. It no longer flies to have a business that just benefits yourself or just benefits your co-founders or your company. So I think that we have a responsibility as consumers and a society to hold business leaders responsible to really take the next step, because they're not going to do it on their own. They listen to markets and they listen to consumers, and we really have a voice. I mean, you see this with food is a great example. Mm-hmm. Consumers around the world have really stepped up and demanded that we have, you know, farm to table food, non-genetically modified foods. I'm a big advocate of this as well, but you see the market shifting, and that's because the business leaders have to respond to us. Otherwise they're going to go out of business. So I think we have a big responsibility to make these business leaders, hold them as what I say to be change makers, and hold them as, you should see them as lights, onto society and not darkness, which is what they've been traditionally seen as, in my opinion.
And you're not only walking the walk, but you're talking the talk as well, with the work that you're doing in fostering the next generation of entrepreneurs and business leaders through these experiential business learning projects that you have going in Israel. Talk to me a little bit more about that aspect of what you do.
Sure, I'd love to. The Tamid Group is an apolitical, a-religious organization that works to foster, like you said, the next generation of business leaders around the world through experiential business learning in Israel. So we have 30 chapters around the country, and we have more than 1,500 students currently involved. And essentially at each college campus, these students are hand selected and handpicked. They go through education of business concepts and consulting and finance, and then they do amazing work. They do financial research, and they also do consulting projects with some of the world's top startups and VC firms and what have you. And we've really seen, like, after they go on to finish their business and consulting projects, they go on to have the opportunity to be in Israel for a fellowship, and they spend 3 months in Tel Aviv working at companies like from anywhere from Google to Wix to Waze, like really, really amazing companies. And these students are students, and they're doing this as students, and the education really gives them hands-on learning so that they're able to go out and create their own companies and really make a difference in the fields of consulting and finance, which have been pretty stagnant in the past. And these students are, I mean, I've had the best experience of my life. I founded the chapter at GW, George Washington University in DC, and just being really involved with a national organization has definitely changed my life. And we're really happy to be learning from Israel, which is, you know, one of the best, most innovative countries in the world, just next to the Silicon Valley in San Francisco. And we really get to work with these Israeli companies and learn from the ecosystem present in Israel to make a difference in the ecosystem that we have here and see how it differs, see how it's similar, and work with some of the entrepreneurs there to really learn and grow our business society here and in our personal lives as well with our own companies.
It's a big question, but you know, you speak about Silicon Valley, you speak about the unbelievable work that they're doing in terms of innovation in Tel Aviv and so on and so forth. For you, technology and the impact that it can have on improving the world, we very often look at the negative effects of technology on the world, but your approach to technology as an enabler of building a better world, what's your immediate stance? It's a big question, but just in a minute or two.
Yeah, I think that we have a long way to go. I think that there's a lot of people that are using it for the good, but I think that there's a lot of people that are also using it for personal benefits. I think that a lot of what happens in the Silicon Valley, it turns into a big contest of who can say that they have the most money and are raising the most money. I think that we really need to, you know, take a step back and look at what we've done and where we have to go. And, you know, with a lot of these amazing organizations, I mean, we worked with a company called Innovation Africa, and they're a nonprofit organization that brings Israeli technology to sub-Saharan African countries. And the impact that they do by enabling people that won't normally have access to it, you know, giving them technology to improve their lives has made a huge impact, and people really love what they're doing. On the other hand, we have a lot of companies that could be donating a lot of their technology or, you know, really helping with tech and in ways that they are not doing. And again, they're not being held responsible to do so. So a lot of people have had to fill the void and do it themselves, like Innovation Africa and a nonprofit organization. So I still think we have a long ways to go. But with people like Elon Musk and those that like see a greater vision for the future, I think that we're in good hands. I think, but like I said, again, it's really up to the consumer and to the people in society to really hold the business leaders accountable. People like at Google and Facebook, we need to make sure that they're making the world a better place through their tech, because they're the ones that are going to be having the say of what goes on just as much or more so than the politicians that we've, you know, traditionally trusted our futures with.
Absolutely. Speaking of vision, I know that Give Butter, another one of your projects, has an unbelievable vision. You're, of course, the co-founder. What is the vision of Give Butter?
Sure. We want to change the way people give, and we are bringing the beauty of offline giving online. So right now, you know, on crowdfunding, a lot of what you see is transactional giving. A lot of the donations on the websites are add to cart. You wouldn't believe. It's a multi-billion dollar industry that became prominent around 2009, and it hasn't changed since. There are a bunch of websites that are really clones of each other that are just systems where people go and they make transactions and they give to causes. With us, we're allowing donors to really have a say, and we're allowing the donors to tell the story of the campaigns. When they give to these campaigns on our site, they get real estate on a page and they upload like beautiful giving walls, we call them. And there's spaces of GIFs, videos, images in support of the causes that they're donating to. And when they do that, they're more likely to share. And when they more likely to share, they raise more money. So we're trying to foster this community of people that are giving in a unique and new way. And thus, you know, we're trying to change the face of giving online completely. And we think we're doing a pretty good job. But I guess you'll tell me what you think.
Yeah, I'm having a look at it right now. What an unbelievably cool, you know, innovative way to inspire people to give back and so on and so forth. Who inspired you to be somebody that, you know, wants to give back and make the world a better place?
Yeah, I have a lot of inspiration in my life. One big person is my granny. She's a 93-year-old Holocaust survivor. Originally from Latvia, and she is the matriarch of our family and in the community in San Diego in total. And she's been through so much, and yet she's so giving of her time, and her vision has always driven me. She just wants to make the world better, and she's never afraid to give back and speak up and really help people. Mm-hmm. And she's been a guiding light in my life since I was born. She's still around. She actually drives and speaks on the Bluetooth at the same time. So she's quite the fighter. But my roots are deep, and she is definitely a big part of that.
A guy like you must have a hell of a lot to write about when you sit down and start working on your music, because, of course, you're a singer-songwriter as well. Talk to me about using that aspect of your creativity to inspire change in the world, because, you know, a song can have a massive impact too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love music so much, and I just started this past year. I performed a cover of Hello and by Adele at a coffee shop, and people came up to me and really gave me this unbelievable response. And I'd been a theater kid my whole life. I did a lot of professional theater, and I was a competitive dancer my whole life growing up. So, you know, I've been a singer forever, but I'd never really performed in a musical setting, just pure music. And once I received the response that I did, people were like, you know, you really should pursue this. And so I started writing music and performing a lot more, and I never looked back. So I've really been trying to embody that. I think the change that you can have through music is almost greater than everything we've talked about, because music hits everybody no matter where you are, no matter what you have. It's almost like the game of soccer. You can play it wherever you are. You don't need anything to do so. All you need is people and voices. And I think the change is huge. I'm a big, big, big believer that music can definitely change the world. And I hope to be able to bring music to, you know, inspire others. Even, you know, songs inspire people, even if you don't know what they're saying. Just because song is beautiful and song drives me. I didn't include that earlier, but a huge part of what keeps me going every day is music. So, I mean, I try to take what I've experienced, put it into writing, and then, you know, sing it for people. And sometimes the response is good. Other times, you know, like everyone else, you've had your bad days. We've had our bad days. But music definitely keeps me going every day, and I hope to be able to continue that. And that's another one of my dreams, is to perform all over the world, you know, and just sing out to the audiences and people and, you know, be surrounded by music.
Well, listen, dude, I mean, unbelievable story you got, and one can, you know, in any word that you're speaking, just hear so much passion oozing out of you. Of course, so we stumbled across you, you know, through our good friends over at Nexus. What's your alignment to Nexus?
Yeah, they're an amazing organization. I'm working on attending their summit We'll see how that goes, because right now I'm in Maryland and they're in New York, but they're an amazing organization that really helps bring business leaders and philanthropists to do better. And so I absolutely love what they're doing, and I think that they're amazing, and I'd love nothing more than to work with them in the future. And yeah, I really, really have been inspired by what they do. Just taking a look at, I'm sure you've seen some of the people that are responsible for their organization, and everything from the top of the leadership to the interns that I'm friends with as well. They're really an amazing organization of people. And I think that they're really doing a really important service to our society. They're taking the top philanthropists and entrepreneurs and bringing them together in a room to say, how can we change things? And I think that they're doing a great job. So very inspiring stuff.
We've got time for one last question. And the final question to you, Ari Krasner, on this Thursday afternoon, Central African time, and whatever time it is where in the world you are. I think it's in Washington, right?
Yes, yes.
The final question is, what is it that the world needs right now? And how does one get better at figuring out how to be a part of making that change?
Peace. The world needs peace really bad. And it comes internally. There are going to be people that are telling you one thing or the other, your leaders of your country, telling you to hate other people, telling you to encompass these values. And it's hard because a lot of people are ingrained with it from so young, the hatred for other people, even though they've never met them before. Peace is what the world needs, especially in the Middle East, just a more, you know, an understanding of other people and an ability and willingness to accept who they are, even if they're different, and understanding that they can speak and you can have a conversation, even if your values and opinions are different. There's no reason to have the violence that we're having now. We are all humans. We really should be thinking it's all internal and individual. It's not a systematic thing. It's individual. And that changes the system. And really, really, really need to have individuals start challenging the way the world is running and thinking, starting internally, how can I make the world a more peaceful place? Think about how you can be more accepting and of other people's opinions and values. A lot of times you see around the world, people are getting killed for what they say. It's crazy. There's no need to have that when we can have really progressive and really valuable conversations around issues that are passionate to all of us, that are important, that are really life-changing for all of us. We should really embody these conversations instead of the violence. That's what I think we need, is peace.
It's a powerful answer. Listen, Ari, I know that you're working really hard with Tamid over the summer, but I think maybe you need to interject yourself into these American presidential elections in some way as well. I think a guy like you could make a big impact in that space. It's been so cool speaking to you, and thank you so much for the time. I need one final word that kind of encapsulates who you are.
That's a tough one. You know, I would say inspired. I'm inspired by a lot of people, and that's what drives me all the time, is I'm around these people that are doing amazing things, and I'm constantly trying to be inspired. I would say that's what everyone should do, is try and be inspired every day. Surround yourself with people that are going to inspire you. So thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure, and thank you for all that you do. You have some amazing stuff, and it's been such a pleasure, really.
So, so cool. And listen, your word may be inspired, but what you're doing is inspiring to other people. So thank you so much. It's at Ari_Krasner on Twitter, Ari_Krasner. Of course, you're the co-founder of Give Butter. You're also the founder and president of Tamid at George Washington University, where you're also studying. You're also a musician. And then in your free time, apparently it says here, apparently you have free time, you like to shoot photos and surf. So Ari, thank you so much for hanging out.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Peace out. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.